Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
This is Jeff Ellis for Thursday, January 2nd, 2014.
The 40th episode of Season 9, Episode 9.40.
Also known as Wild Card Preview.
Wild Card.
Wild Card.
Yeah, you know what?
I think
it's the first year in a very long time where I don't believe there's very sexy sexiness in Wild Card Week.
You're not a big fan of the fixtures that lay before us, Indianapolis Colts, the Kansas fixtures. City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles at the New Orleans Saints.
No,
I'm sorry, got those backwards.
Yeah, got
I'm looking
backwards.
At the Brits. I'm sorry. The Chiefs at the Colts,
yes.
Saints at the Eagles,
yes.
Chargers at the Bengals, Niners at the Packers. Yes. Those aren't sexy.
All but one of the four.
One of them is sexy as all get out.
Three of the four are repeats. They're rematches of regular season games.
And one of them features teams that have not played each other at all this season.
That's the one.
Default.
That's
but, Steven, the sexy, sexy game.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Packers, Niners?
In sub-30-degree weather.
Yeah. This is a San
that's
Francisco.
Not sexy.
What am I wearing today, bro?
Yeah, you're wearing your 49ers shirt. I'm just telling you.
Am I wearing short sleeve or long sleeve?
Am
I wearing short sleeve or long sleeve?
Long sleeve.
I'm built for the cold.
When you can't feel
your brain,
your body, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a great football game. It's going to be that nasty Green Bay Packer, New York Giant, 17-13 fiasco that was Brett Favre's running him out of town game in Green Bay.
So New
because
York's
it was
so
win. Freaking just bitterly cold.
What awful cold.
Where nobody could feel their hands. Wide receivers couldn't catch the football. That's what you're going to have. And it's going to be the Frank Gore versus Eddie Lacy show.
Yeah, but there's one.
Kaepernick and Aaron Rodgers will be.
Neutralized?
Irrelevant.
Will they be neutered?
And it's going to be a defensive struggle. And, you know, some people like that.
I'd love that. You're talking about. I mean, this is, again. I don't like it for the Super Bowl, but let's just be clear about that.
Yeah.
But for a postseason game, I think, look, it's got the revenge factor written all over
it.
Because San Francisco has taken it to Green Bay three times in a row. And this has got epic written all over it. I think all these games are epic. We got a boatload of NFL news, Steven.
Yeah, we do.
We got a coaching carousel
before
to get everybody to, and we got to chomp it in.
Do you know that I won't be available for the first wild card game?
I do, because I'm watching your girls. I'm going to be laughing at you while I not watch your girls.
Why? You won't be watching my girls.
No, I won't. I'll be watching
DD,
football.
I'm sure,
yeah.
Has taken full responsibility.
Pretty much. I'm actually going to coach up your oldest on managing the situation completely and all of my needs as far as just snacks and things. So Elena is going to be running my house.
Really?
Yeah, so DD can be out doing whatever she wants with Karen. Just Elena's in charge. Emma will not bother me. She will not. Yeah. Elena is going to actually get a rope out, and I'll explain it all to you after we chomp it.
A rope?
Not what you think.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
Think of the rope as the lasso tool in Photoshop.
Yes.
I'm going to set up a perimeter. Nobody enters or exits the perimeter. So there's like a no-fly zone because it includes in front of the TV.
Good luck with that one.
I've got a plan.
All right.
I've got a plan. And I've got your daughter adores me for some reason. I don't know why. We both have rather off senses of humor. And
which one?
The one that I'm putting in charge.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Emma's got an off sense of humor, but she's her own entity.
Oh, yes.
She's her own life form. You don't compare Emma to anyone.
No.
Because if you do, she'll be like, that's not true.
No, it isn't. Yeah, she is
she's
quite
character.
A character.
Character, character.
So we're laying in bed this morning. I don't want to go to work.
I'm like, I thought you'd work today.
I don't want to go. And so I'm laying there with Emma, and she's kind of cuddling up next to me, and I'm like, all right, I got to go take a shower. And she's like, no, don't go. And she puts a death grip on my arm.
Nice.
Like, literally, where she's squeezing the arm, there's no blood flowing.
So,
like, I can barely feel my fingers. Okay, that's
starting to get the tingling in the blue and the cold.
And, all right, kid, but you know I have to go to work. Silence. Emma, I have to go to work. Fine, go then. And she flicks my arm. And she's and it was like, wow, you are six.
You're being all temperamental girlish.
You shouldn't
stop it.
Be like that
yet. Not
yet. Yeah, no, she is pretty cool.
She's a character.
But then I'm like, Emma, are you cool? She's like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, her recovery rate is remarkable.
I think, yeah, it goes back to, you know, when we left her for a week,
mm-hmm.
basically. I think that's where her recovery mm-hmm. comes from.
Ability to bounce back.
Yes, to bounce back. Because for a second there, you know, we had been gone for a week, and then she saw us for the first time, and she kind of looked, and there was that recognition, like,
I like those guys.
I know you. And she just started crying.
Oh.
And so then I grabbed her, and I'm like, what? It's like,
so I kept a game face on for 7 days.
Yeah.
All right, I got nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, for 7 days, I didn't know what had happened to you guys.
And I'd written you off,
yeah.
But I was gonna be strong. Yeah. I was going to be tough. Now I don't have to anymore, yeah, and so yeah. You're going to get all the tears.
Yeah, I did. We got tears for, you know, about 10 minutes, and then it was all happy Emma. And I think ever since that, she's like, you know what?
I can survive without you.
My dad might not be gone, might be gone for a little bit. He's going to make it back.
Except for Nam. I mean – you know,
yeah,
you over Macho Grande.
I hope I don't
over
ever
Macho
have
Grande.
To go to Nam.
Over Macho Grande.
What is Macho Grande?
The line is no, you never get over Macho Grande. Those wounds run deep.
Is that a Tropic Thunder thing?
No, that's Airplane 2.
Oh, okay.
He refers to something that happened, and he says over Macho Grande. No, I'll never get over Macho Grande. Those wounds run deep.
Yeah, I didn't know.
No, Airplane 2 doesn't, remember, it doesn't hold the test of time. I've had a further review upon that.
Yes.
Fresh set of eyeballs.
But
some
the
funny
original
jokes,
Airplane is okay?
Still works pretty well for me and you.
Yeah.
But the kids, they'll be like, that's kind of dumb. That's really campy.
Yeah.
And it is dumb and campy, but it worked, and it was so original and fresh at the time that we've taken comedy a lot further since then,
right.
The Zuckerman brothers came and put that thing out there, Airplane. Go see it for historic value at least.
Airplane's awesome.
I don't disagree.
I never was a big fan of Airplane 2.
Well, I just –
because I, kind of like, you know, The Hangover.
Yeah.
It was a repeat
was exactly
of a lot of
the – exactly the same.
Yeah,
they just reworded the jokes.
Reworded them and put it in a different setting.
It's in space.
There you go.
It's totally different.
Completely different setting.
It's not an aircraft. It's a spaceship.
Let's take them from Las Vegas and put them in Bangkok.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, let me tell you that the similarities between Bangkok and Vegas are far more than the differences.
Exactly.
See, sex, drugs, rock and roll, seediness. Yeah, that's Bangkok. Yeah, am I talking about Bangkok or Vegas?
Vegas, which one?
They're the same.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, so I wasn't a big fan of Airplane 2, but Airplane, the original,
classic.
It is the best.
But there is some great moments in Airplane 2 with
Bill
Shatner specifically.
You know what doesn't translate? The original RoboCop.
You've went back and looked at that
because
the sequel.
Because
the
new
remake.
One, the remake's coming out. The remake looks
crazy good. Is there a reason they remade it? I went and saw The Running Man original with Dee Dee the other night.
No!
Yeah. And
with Schwarzenegger?
And
Maria,
most importantly.
Maria Conchita Alonso?
Most importantly.
Richard Dawson?
Wow. Richard Dawson
who
was great.
Who loves you and who do you love?
Richard Dawson held up just fine,
he was
by
awesome
the way.
In that movie, yes.
He was perfectly cast as a game show host for some reason. It worked really well.
I wonder why.
Well, I mean, people forget that Hogan's Heroes, he
was
an actor
the whole
in his own right.
I'd be Buck.
Yes.
Only in a rerun.
See,
I love that.
The lines were really
but
bad.
So the original RoboCop, we're watching it, and I'm just like, oh my God, outside of the guy turning into the robot, the whole rest of it is just like
camp.
What? I mean, but back
then. How did we think it was so awesome?
It was amazing back then.
Remember, this is NFL rants and raves, and
we don't go to box office rants and raves until after the Super Bowl.
I'd buy
that for a dollar.
I've seen some great movies that we're not going to get into, but I will commend to people highly.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Her.
And
the other one I've seen that's really good.
The Captain Phillips.
No, haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
There's too many movies I saw in too short a span of time. I saw three in 3 days, and that's a problem. I can't do more than one a day. You can. I can't.
I wish I could do three in 3 days.
I know. My wife was off, and so, you know, we got older kids, so we just do it. It's like 4 o'clock, we just go to the movies.
I could do three in a day.
I know. I can't. Because I need to really let it sink in and absorb.
Movie hop. Just go to the next one.
I tried it, and
take
I always
me
lose.
To the next
I lose something.
And then all of a sudden, Jeff's like saying, "Yeah," and then this happened, and it's like, "No, Jeff, that's the wrong movie." No, no, it happened in this one. No, Jeff, that's this one. Oh yeah, I did see that one. You mixed them. You would mix them early. But no, all right. Yeah, I guess let's talk about some football, shall we? What's going to we talk about first? Coaches. Let's just give. You know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Hit bang me. We're going to give 5 minutes because, you know, we've got time constraints on us today.
We do. I have a
but
meeting.
But we're going to give 5 minutes to the phenomenal Week 17 ending to the National Football League.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Week 17 was so amazing.
How amazing was it?
It was so amazing that there are no words.
And there will be
there are
no equivalent.
No words.
There will never be a repeat of this. Never.
I have watched Week 17 in the NFL for as long as I've lived.
Yes.
Nigh.
Nothing like this.
Duplication.
Nothing like this.
Never been a Week 17 where games were going into overtime that needed to that were going to decide playoff fates.
Remember my Facebook post and tweet. It was 4:30 Pacific time, and we still had 8 teams that had no idea if they were in the playoffs or not.
Or not.
And that's insanity.
It was crazy. Games going to the wire. Chicago, Green Bay, San Diego, Kansas City. By the way,
yeah,
11-5 or worse. I will take these dollars now, please, and I will put them right here.
That's the Kansas City Chief, $3.
Now, do you – now, for because I'm collecting tomorrow at work, by the way. There was a guy who was out
Are
today.
Are you?
Yes.
He was out today.
It was 9-0.
Why was he out today?
Well –
because he owes you a lot of money?
No, he was on vacation.
Oh, all right.
And he wanted to take tomorrow part of the vacation, but boss was like, you don't have any more vacation days. Like, oh, man, I'll go.
A situation Stephen wouldn't be familiar with in the least.
Exactly. So, anyways –
oh, my gosh.
When Kansas City
American
was 9-0.
And 0. Sorry, that was the other one.
American Hustle.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Kansas City was 9-0. I said, anything you want to lose right now, I guarantee they will be 11-5 or worse at the end of the season. He's like, you're trying to tell me they're going to win 2 more games? That's exactly what I'm telling you. He's like, you're wrong. Put your money where your mouth is.
Money talks, BS walks.
25. Boom. $25 bet.
Nice.
Then my boss heard me, and he's like,
I want some of that.
Yeah. Seriously? They're 9-0, Steven. He's like, they still have 7 games. You're trying to tell me the next 7 games, they're only going to win twice? I'm like, twice. If that. I'll give you twice because they got Oakland, and everybody's beating Oakland.
Yeah.
And they got Washington, and everybody's beating Washington. They got Denver twice, they got San Diego twice, and they got Indy.
Ain't beating any of them all.
5 losses.
Ain't beating any of them.
And they were like, yeah, and they all took the bet.
How would you not?
Then when I went through that scenario, someone heard, oh, they're not going to lose twice to Denver. How much you want to lose? 20 bets. I made so much money on my colleagues.
Give me a ballpark. Give me an over-under here.
A little north of 100.
A little north of 100. That's nice.
All
That's
on
nice.
The Kansas City Chiefs starting 9-0 and me correctly identifying that they would not finish with more than 11 wins.
Can we possibly make that part of a prediction of what your pick might look like this week? Possibly.
Yeah, you could possibly.
Possibly, because yes. Now just Steven conveniently left his MyPad at home at the
And you know
home.
What?
And so
you know
I have to declare that I am, in fact, the smartest man alive.
You are.
I am the smartest man alive.
You
got 13 right
seriously,
last week.
You feel really confident about that?
Feel really, really good.
24-22 win.
24-22 win. I mean, what teams were they?
Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, the other one was Houston. You would have lost that one, too, so let's be honest.
Oh, my God, they were winning the whole game.
It's the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are on the clock. Okay.
Yeah, there
okay.
they are.
Enjoy yourself.
They were winning the
Did they trade the pick or do they keep it? It's a good one. They keep it.
Yeah, and you know, you might as well hit bang us into some news.
We got so much news.
Yeah. The Houston Texans not only are on the clock, they have a new head coach.
They do have a new head coach, and the Houston Texans first up to fire
are the first to hire. Bill O'Brien agrees to be the Houston Texans head coach.
And it doesn't come without its share of drama. For people to go, who the heck is Bill O'Brien? Fair question.
Yes.
He was hired to reboot a Penn State program after the Jerry Sandusky trial, and Joe Pa had to go packing.
Right.
And he had a horrible job in front of him where he was handcuffed in every single way a head coach could be handcuffed. And what did he manage to do in less than two seasons?
Well, he
built them into a successful program that would have made a bowl game this year if they were eligible.
Yeah, they went 15-9 in the last 2 years. This year they were really
terrific. Penn State, they were supposed to have been Stephen. They were the NCAA set out to nuke that program.
Yeah,
drop a nuclear bomb on Happy Valley.
Imposed by the NCAA were pretty.
That was the intention.
Yeah, they were pretty.
Along comes a guy named Bill O'Brien and says, I think I can make this work.
And he made it work.
And someone says, damn, son, if you could do that, we need you in the NFL.
Well, last Wednesday, he flew into Houston and
Poor Penn State. His arm's tired. Sorry.
And then later, the next day on Thursday, which was last Thursday, the Penn State program sent out a release announcing that Bill O'Brien had left and decided to move on to coach the Houston Texans. So there you go. That was the first coaching hire.
And that was the first coaching fire.
It was.
Now, to take you back.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
To take you back in time to Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Black Monday.
Oh, Black Monday. I mean, everybody, Black Monday was nasty.
Well, it was as nasty as it has been, right?
It could have been nastier, but.
Because we've had 25% of the teams replace their head coaches on Black Monday. 8 of the 32. This year we only had 6.
6 is still a lot.
It's still a lot, and when you do the ripple effect.
And if you ask me, there's probably another 3 or 4 teams that, you know, could have chomped.
Well, I think, Stephen, what's surprising to me is that I heard Pat Kerwin talk today about the owners when they get together, if this issue of sticking with something.
Yeah.
Especially in wake of what I will be my rant of the week, which will be the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah, we could rant on them all day.
No, we could. But what we're going to do, what he just thinks that the owners need to – they need a talking to. Pat says he's going to mention to the commissioner when he sees him next that he should consider when the competition committee gets together that they might want to float out an idea of talking to the owners about responsible ownership. And what it means, and when you hire someone, and what that means. Because the ripple effect, because Pat's seen firsthand, he's been through a lot of coach firings, including himself.
Yeah.
And he's seen the ripple effect of the families, of the assistants, and the trainers, and all these people who all go. All their kids are in school and everything like that. Boom. It's not like you're being turned on the street as a homeless person. But he's just saying the ripple effect is so profound that when you have somebody – for 11 and a half months, as was the case with Chud in Cleveland. 11 and a half months? Come on. What did you hire him for? Why did you bring him in the first place? What was the thought process? You were going to be a new kind of owner that was going to be patient, that was going to come in and have some stability.
So when I first heard that he was going to get fired, and then there was like, no, they haven't actually said he was going to fire.
That was a big fun.
Still thinking about it. Oh, no, he's going to get fired. We don't know that yet. He's going to get fired. Well, you stop saying that. He's not going to get fired. He's fired. When I first saw that, I was like, I'm going to wait till it's actually announced.
Yeah.
When it was announced, I was like, this says more about the hiring person and the organization than it does about the man that was fired.
Oh, absolutely. Given that he had 3 quarterbacks and he started getting somewhere with Hoyer, you start getting somewhere with Hoyer, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah,
then he gets injured.
And then Hoyer goes down.
Yeah.
And then it's
and
not like
he traded away Trent Richardson.
And it's not like they were playing awful football.
They weren't.
They were
competitive.
Beating the New England
They had
Patriots
Jeff take them on some weeks.
Until the I mean, but they took the Patriots to the brink, to the last second, when the Patriots had that miracle, you know, onside football kick recovery, and they threw that touch. They, you know, they got the penalty, of course, the PI, and they won that game. I mean, they were winning that game the entire way.
Correct.
There were other games where they were very competitive and were in until the very end.
But, Steven, here's my deal.
And he did it with smoke and mirrors. And then you're going to say at the end of the season, well, that wasn't good enough.
Which begs the question that I do want to ask. So we might as well just get into my rant in a calmer fashion.
All right.
I'm ranting in a calmer voice.
Be calm.
But Jimmy Haslam, when he came in, he got this new franchise that wasn't very, very old. I mean, remember, it was Art Modell was the one who moved them out of Cleveland.
Yes.
So it was Jimmy Haslam had nothing to do with this. He brings in Joe Banner as a CEO and Mike Lombardi as the GM.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for especially Mike Lombardi, whom I know and think highly of, and he's given me a lot of great nuggets of history, especially. The guy's been around the game forever.
Yeah.
But what were you thinking? Because Jim Haslam, his words when he took ownership of this team was that he was going to bring stability and winning to this fan base that's known nothing but misery. You tell me a fan base that has suffered. You give me any sport in the world, and you tell me fans that have suffered like this.
Well, there was the Boston Red Sox for a long time until they started winning.
They never lost their team. They never had their team move in the middle of the night, did they?
Did you see the man who was holding a sign outside the team's facilities that said, thank you for 18 years of misery? And they sent security out and made him go to the other side of the street.
Yeah.
That's how bad it's gotten.
I remember.
He's decked out. I mean.
He's wearing all his gear.
He's wearing all his
Browns. He's a season ticket holder. You know he is.
Yeah. Why send him across the street?
Well,
listen, you know what? You know what I would have done? I would have brought him in. I was like, I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, they know that they screwed this up so badly that they permitted this question into the press conference.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't know who he is still. I wasn't there.
That press conference
that was planted.
Was...
That guy was a really? Plant. If you want, okay. I know it's Conspiracy Jeff.
Yeah.
And Conspiracy Jeff is never very far away. However, given the lightning rod nature of his comments and that this guy was representing comments, I believe he was a plant from the PR staff who said, basically, here's the crap that's come in our Facebook and Twitter, and here's the really, really mean stuff. We need it in the room so that we can look like we're not running from anything.
Right.
Because we know that we've screwed this up.
Yeah.
And I think Jimmy Haslam is a smart enough guy that he would do that. And so the question, the short form of the question is, give me some reason to believe that this organization isn't being run by the Three Stooges, which would be Jim Haslam, Joe Banner, and Mike Lombardi.
Right.
And all the reporters in the room, the gasp that went from that room when that comment came out of that guy's mouth. Give me any indication, any comfort that this organization isn't being run by the Three Stooges. Ooh.
I would have followed that up with, and by the way, who's Shemp?
Which one of y'all Shemp? I'm going to go Joe Banner.
Okay.
Lombardi looks too much like Mo, it is.
He's
got the greased down dark hair.
He's Mo.
You know, he's Mo.
He's Mo.
But he's not the leader. I mean, Haslam's the real leader here, but he doesn't look enough like Mo. So, yeah. So, anyways, they seemed ready for the question. The guy was just – no. The guy was not a reporter, and he indicated that he was not a reporter. So it's like, I think he was somebody on the staff, on the PR staff, an intern or something, and they shoved him into the room, and they said, read this. And he did, and then he got accosted for it by all the other reporters. They're like, hey, you can't say stuff like that in a press conference. That's not cool. But it got out there in the room that this is what the fans think.
Right.
The fans are furious, and they have a right to. Steven, I truly believe, just as Week 17 – was unprecedented in his excitement. There has never been a fan base that has suffered more than the Cleveland Browns. And the only thing I'm thinking of the Scottish football club, the Rangers, that I believe are the ones that got dismantled because of a bankruptcy and got sent down a division. It's always Celtic and the Rangers that go.
What about the LA fan base? I mean, they've suffered tremendously.
Suffered how? We have our teams leave and never come back.
Yeah.
And they ain't ever coming
and
back.
We have nothing.
We have nothing. Here. But, Steven.
That's suffering. That's pain.
I
guess it's not as bad as watching your team lose.
As paying money to watch ineptitude.
Yeah.
Year after year, decade after decade.
Well, not decades. I would say.
Bernie Kosar?
Bernie Kosar gave him some great years.
And how long ago was that, Steven? I don't mean to make you feel old, but that was a while ago.
I'm not that old. I decided 2014.
You're getting younger.
I am not going to be old.
You're getting younger.
I am.
Getting so much
younger. As a matter of fact, so much so that I don't crack anymore.
Crack?
Yeah, your bones. You know, like when your bones crack and stuff?
Yeah.
Like I used to do this,
yeah,
and the shoulder would just crack.
Oh, my shoulder would pop
do
right
that.
Now.
No. Pop. No more poppage.
Pop.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm kind of nervous a little bit about the whole Super Bowl getting off. When am I going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already got my flight booked, and I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
About being cold. Steven, when am I happiest?
Layers.
Picture Jeff at his happiest.
You were in Castaway Case, laying down on a hammock.
Nailed
with
it.
Some khaki shorts and a tank top with your hat and some sunglasses, smoking a cigar.
There, you got the most essential element there. Yeah. Besides the hammock, besides being on an island in the Mediterranean.
Actually, it was the Caribbean.
Okay, in the Caribbean. I'm in the Caribbean on a private island. In a hammock, in the shade.
In the shade. That's what's important to me, in the shade.
Yeah. What's most important to me is because I got my hat, so I produce my own shade.
I see.
And my cigar.
Yeah, cigars were good.
What I prefer to even great Cuban cigars is just my pipe because it's a flavor that is so familiar. What I smoke is so familiar to me that it's like a great comfort.
Great.
It's a comfort. So how, where, why am I going to smoke – for those 11 days in New York City.
Rough it and go outside, man.
So I see myself hiding out at the Davidoff store where it'll be nice and won't
be
cold.
There you go.
There you go.
Inside they'll have nice and warm and
toasty.
They
will. It will be.
The humidor.
And when you leave, you smell like cigars for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you got to go home and shave and
shower. You got to go home and shave and shower. That's not very convenient to working all week. So I don't see how that
You can
fits.
Do it.
And I strongly prefer to smoke outside because I just love being outside. And so I don't know how. In Indianapolis, Stephen, we were outside. The only times I was outside was when I was smoking my pipe. And I was outside the front of the hotel.
And
I was freezing.
Yeah.
I was freezing. By the way, freezing here is 22 degrees, which is going to feel like freaking Palm Springs.
Yes.
God.
I am.
It was 80 today in LA, people.
I broke out the gloves today. I got three pairs.
Mm-hmm.
I got the super duper. I got the light ones.
Yeah.
That'll fit like, you know.
Yeah.
Fit like
they
a
fit
glove.
Like gloves.
And then the big snow one
snow
that
ones.
You take out to the mountains.
Make snowballs and destroy people.
Snowballs. And so. And then I've got a third one that's kind of like in between.
So Steve, what? What would you do if you were a Cleveland Brown fan and were living there in the Cleveland area? You're a lifer. You had no choice.
Be a Cleveland Brown
you had no choice.
Oh, I had no choice.
Right. You had no choice. Your dad took you to games when you were a kid. You got no choice. You're still the game. The jersey you wear
know.
Is a Bernie Kosar jersey.
Do we get a Cleveland Browns, a bona fide Cleveland Browns fan on? I could get one right now. I call Corey and we could find out what he feels.
They feel like crap, dude. They don't even want to talk. I mean, they're so despondent.
He would be like that, too. He'd be like, shut up. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, the Cowboys haven't been in the playoffs for, like, what, 12 years or 10 years? 7 years. 7 years they haven't been in a playoff game.
A few years.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
they
awful.
They've only won one playoff game in 17, if you want to say it.
Okay. Well, so, but it's like everybody who thinks they got it bad, there's worse. There's Cleveland. Yeah. There's always Cleveland. And I just feel bad because these are some pretty much salt of the earth kind of people there. And Berea, Ohio.
I think it's been a long time since the Buffalo Bills have been in the playoffs.
But again, they went to four consecutive Super Bowls, yes. And that makes you great.
In the 90s.
In the 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Late 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s.
I graduated in 92. 89, that was their last one. So it was 88, 91, 92. Right. Yeah. And they haven't. Have they been to the playoffs since?
They've
yeah,
had
probably.
A few playoff appearances after that.
Yeah, not much. Not oh, many. They had Drew Bledsoe at yeah. quarterback, so that was nice. That was a nice little time.
For a while.
Yeah, a couple seasons.
Before they kicked him out.
Yeah, yeah, they had a couple good seasons.
Are you thinking New England?
No.
Bledsoe was New England.
Bledsoe was also a Bill, I think.
Was he a Bill?
I'm going to verify. Bledsoe.
My Bills. Big news is Lovey is back. Lovey.
Buffalo Bills 2002-2004.
Okay. Hoo-ah. There you go. Lovey.
Lovey.
Is back. Jeffrey and I'm a little happy about that. Lovey Smith.
Lovey's back in town. Lovey's back in town.
Signed a five-year deal to become the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
But, Steven, that means Greg Schiano got sacked.
Yes! I mean, yes, he did.
He did, and they were lined up in a kneel down, and somebody came up and sacked him.
Somebody.
Somebody
on one of the networks. I don't even know who.
The mothership?
Sure. No, I don't think it was the mothership. You know, I bang on them enough I don't want them to.
I love watching Patrick just to listen to him rail on the mothership.
But someone.
You know, we're not going to see Patrick. And
no, he's taken off to New York. I mean, to Sochi. He's going to
wait
Sochi.
Wait a minute. He's going to miss the Super Bowl completely?
He won't. When he lands in Sochi, the Super Bowl is going to start.
You know how pissed he must be?
Oh, he's
that's
not.
NBC got him wrapped around their little finger.
That's NBC. That's my company for you.
When you work for
they might send me to Sochi.
When you work for the Peacock, no. When you work for the Peacock, they own you.
I might get back for the Super Bowl, and that following weekend, I might be on a plane to Sochi.
Okay, I understand that, but not for talent purposes.
Maybe.
As talent.
You don't know.
Yeah, I do. I can say this with 99.9% certainty. As talent, all you want is to be at the events you want to be at. Is that do I got that right, Steven?
Sure, but sometimes you can't do that.
Sometimes you can't, but yeah. When you're Dan Patrick –
there's absolutely no reason for
wow.
Dan.
Wow. They've got Bob Costas.
To be
and his
at
big
the
mouth.
Super Bowl because Fox has the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. So is he taking the Danettes with him? Might as well.
I don't know. My understanding is that
Patrick show's going on my hiatus.
My understanding is the Dan Patrick show, they'll do that week before the Super Bowl, but that Saturday
definitely.
He leaves.
Wow.
So they'll be around Super Bowl
but
week.
They will only be at their studio in New York City, the one that they use for
yes,
the Monday show
that
of the Dan Patrick show because he doesn't want to go all the way back to
that
Connecticut.
Is, yes, that's correct.
And so once I realized that the Super Bowl was in New York City, I'm like, that means Paulie's not going to be around and the Danettes.
They'll be around.
They will not. They will not come down to Radio Row.
Yeah, they will.
He'll come to say hi. And that's it.
Well,
nobody's going to come visit. DP certainly isn't going to walk around.
No, he won't. He's got big.
That's lame. I like having him on. It's unfortunate. So we said that Greg Schiano was fired, mercifully. But then the truly odd thing, and I discussed this on TalkSport the other night, was the firing that the Glazer family seems to be one-upping themselves here. And they fired Steven and my buddy, Mark Dominic.
Yes. Yeah.
That was surprising to me.
They decided it was a change was needed everywhere. It wasn't that surprising. What was surprising, and I didn't get
he's
to finish,
the only general manager
is that someone
fired.
From the network was saying, they're not going to get rid of Schiano. I have it from sources that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to keep Schiano. They feel that, you know, even though they started it 08, that
they turned a corner.
They turned it around and they started playing hard for Schiano and they're going to keep him around. And I was yelling, "You get out of town! He's the first that's got to go." So I was actually a little happy when he did get the boot.
Sure, because you had predicted it.
Yes.
And that's all Steve and I care about is getting things right.
Getting things right. You know the other one I predicted? Jim Schwartz, baby.
May the Schwartz be not with you.
No, may the Schwartz be gone.
Schwartz be gone.
You can't have that much talent, and you can't be so far in the division lead for a half of a season, and then all of a sudden.
Pieced it away.
That's exactly
you
what they did.
You pieced it away.
Man, see.
You brought in Reggie freaking Bush.
We need a researcher slash go and get. I really want that little piece of me talking about right when the Detroit Lions.
Nope.
No, not that.
You ain't getting that.
With the
meow,
Lions,
meow, kitty, meow, meow,
and you have to go back, and I feel very a little proud of
you.
This particular moment.
Thank you. You proud of me?
I was actually talking about myself.
Oh, I thought you might be proud of me for a second. Sorry. Go ahead.
Because here's so funny. It was week 11.
That's true.
It was mid-November, and the Lions were getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. And not just play them; they were going on the road.
Right.
And I wanted to take the Steelers, and then I said, "I'm not going to because I think right now at this point in time, the Detroit Lions are the better team." But
oh, they are.
I think, and at that point, they were 6-3. They were 6-3, comfortably ahead in that division. I mean, they had it wrapped
going
up.
Going to the playoffs.
They had already beaten the Chicago Bears twice. Okay, they beat the Bears twice.
You got the tiebreaker. Should you even need to get to that point?
And it was like, wow, they've beaten the Bears twice. There's 7 games left. And I said to myself,
Self,
I'm not going to take Pittsburgh. But this is exactly the kind of position where the Detroit Lions could lose this game and then spiral out of control.
It was your barometer game.
They went on to lose that game 37-27. They lost the following week to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We know how good they are because they just fired their coach.
Right. They lost that one. Then on November 28th on Thanksgiving, they blew out the Packers on Thanksgiving Day. And then they never won again. They lost to the Eagles. They lost to the Ravens. They lost to the Giants. And then they lost to the Minnesota Vikings. And
in those final seven games that have had major firings or retirement.
In their final 7 games, Jeffrey,
yep.
The Lions won one.
And that was against?
The Green Bay Packers on Thanksgiving.
All right.
And that was an Aaron Rodgers-less, not
home
knowing
game,
what's
short
going,
week.
Home game, short week. They won.
And what was the score? Was it
40-10. Wasn't even close.
Okay, wasn't even close.
It was close for a long time, though, if you remember that game.
Yeah, barely.
It was close early.
It was
and then,
early game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was, and then they kind of ran away with it at the end. But after that Pittsburgh Steelers game, they wound up only winning one more time, and I said that's what they would do.
But, Steven, read me the list of those teams that they lost to, and I went because –
Pittsburgh.
Nothing's happening there.
Tampa Bay.
Fired head coach and general manager.
Philadelphia Eagles.
They're going to the playoffs.
Baltimore Ravens. No playoffs. Defending Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
But it was a home game.
Okay.
Still lost. They lost to the Giants.
We have today the retirement, which is a very polite way of no longer being with us, of Kevin Gilbride. I don't know if you heard that today.
I did not hear that today.
Steven, it's an underreported story of the day, if you ask me, because Kevin has been around this game forever.
Yes.
And has been with Tom Coughlin going back, if I'm not mistaken, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So wait a minute. Eli throws a record number
of interceptions.
But let's get rid of the offensive coordinator.
He retired.
Okay, well, there you go. He retired.
And for good reason. I wish him nothing but the best. He's a great guy. I remember you and Gilbride hyped in a corner the Super Bowl.
We did.
Just the two of you guys.
We were laughing. It was fun times.
I like that guy.
I must
always
send
liked
him
that
a
guy.
Note and wish him well and whatever
in
it is.
His retirement.
He's not going to retire. He's not staying retired.
That would
be huge.
He has to stay retired, Steven.
He's
otherwise,
got
there's going to be.
Him.
I don't
when
disagree.
When you got football in you, you cannot stay away from. You cannot stay away from it. You can't.
Ask Brett Favre.
Exactly.
What's he doing?
He's coaching a high school football team. Don Kidna. What was he doing before the Cowboys running back?
coaching a high school football team. You can't get it out of your system.
Oh no, man. You can't. It takes a while.
Yeah.
I may retire. I may
just walk away.
I may be done with the whole NFL.
You should go Ultimate Frisbee. cutting edge sport that's a lot like football.
Yes.
And you've got a nephew that's very good at it. And you take
I call his games?
I'm saying you get your mind for strategy. I want you as a coach.
Oh, as a coach.
I want you on the field because there's a lot of changeouts that are made in games because the pace is so frenetic.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of switchouts that, come on.
You need a break. You need a breather.
Absolutely.
You need a breather.
You need tanks of O2 on the sides. Because you got guys running up and down a 100-yard field.
Yeah.
Regularly. I mean, talk about burners. Jeez. Yeah. And so you need to be thinking about plays. You need to be thinking about the talent that you've got. It seems like it's not a sport that I know that has a significant amount of coaching because it's still a developing sport.
Yes.
And I guarantee you with the emergence of all these sports networks, we know that the college national championship was televised last year on NBC Sports. And the team that won, Jordan's team, got beaten by earlier in the year. So, I mean, even that tiny college in Montecito can play at this level because it's still such a growing little embryonic sport. Steven, there's a place for you.
All right.
There's a place for you. You could hang up your cleats and put on some trainers and go coach up a bunch of guys and gals. There's always one tomboy on the team.
Yeah.
There's a gal, and she's usually really cute.
Yeah.
And because you need people that are talented with the disc, man. It's all about being talented with the disc. How many steps you do today?
It's calculating right
now.
Calculating.
I did 8,500. Wow. I did 8,500 today.
Yeah, 500? I did. Yes, it was a busy day today.
Mine was in my neighborhood, I'll be honest.
Mine was I had Elena for half the day, so we were kind of walking around the back lot.
She gets to go to the studio with Daddy?
For half the day, she was at home. So, you know, she's got no school
right now.
That's
like her dream come true. When I was at Disney, my kids were too little to really understand where they were when they went to work with Daddy.
Oh, okay.
And when we go to the studio, I got the picture of Jordan still holding the asteroid from whatever the Bruce Willis movie is with Liv Tyler where I cried.
Armageddon.
Yes. He's holding the giant asteroid that's made out of styrofoam over his head. Okay. He's like 4.
Okay.
5 years old. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just posing for a photo. He didn't understand as we walked on soundstage is what he was. Your daughter knows exactly what she's doing. She's 12.
Yes.
That's so totally different that she knows she's the luckiest kid in the world.
She had a blast.
That's awesome. Good for her. Any celeb sightings for her?
No, because everyone's
no
on
one's
hiatus
working.
Right
no
on.
One's no working, working right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hollywood shuts down for the holidays. Doesn't reboot until the Academy Award nominations, which are 2 weeks from today.
Coming up.
Up. The 16th. And I'm going to – my goal this year, I want to see all the Best Picture nominations before the nominations come out.
And lose to me again for a third year in a row?
I have no interest in
– back to back, baby!
I have no interest in our stupid.
None.
And it's none interest.
You have none?
None interest.
Oh, come on.
Because our stupid Academy Award party, you will not give double points for the categories that matter.
It would not have mattered. I nailed them all last year.
I don't disagree.
The amount of points that I beat you with would have just been double.
But I have no interest in it until there's a reasonable chance of a film aficionado winning your silly contest.
Okay.
Is there a chance of a film aficionado winning your silly contest? I say no.
A film aficionado?
Somebody that would go see a foreign language film because it's been nominated.
I've done that.
Yeah, Life is Beautiful?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about like last year's Amour.
It was nominated. We saw
it. Did you see Amour?
Yes.
You saw Amour?
Yes. I see everything that's nominated.
How does it end?
They all die. I didn't see it.
Thank you.
Which one was that one? Oh, no, because, no, I boycotted. I boycotted movies last year that were nominated that shouldn't have been nominated. And
Steven,
I thought that was one of them.
10 as a
potential. Exactly. That's the problem.
And you're boycotting the entire Academy.
There shouldn't be 10
so
movies.
So you won a meaningless contest. Good
there
for
shouldn't
you.
Be
Good
10.
Good for you. You won a meaningless contest.
There shouldn't be 10. There should be 5 at most.
So my
maybe 4.
My objective, I agree with you, by the way, in that.
Okay, well, there you go.
In that. You know how many nominees there should be? How many great movies there were.
Exactly.
Some years there's none.
But like last year, seriously, I saw most of them.
Yeah, I've seen them all.
I saw
since
most
I was born.
Of them.
That makes me a film aficionado. If I've seen all the AFI movies, all the best pictures since I've been born, and now that it's almost impossible because there's
seen
so many.
Pretty much all the best pictures.
Have you seen
the winners?
Brokeback Mountain?
Not all the ones that were
seen Brokeback Mountain yet?
Listen.
not all the ones that were nominated, only the winners.
Brokeback Mountain.
I did not see that.
Almost
all of them.
Good movie,
almost
by the way.
Almost all of them.
Damn good movie.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But
I heard a lot of good things.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Just a million other things that I'm more interested in right now.
Million Dollar Baby.
Oh,
great movie.
I after the first viewing, I have to stop watching it at a certain time.
Otherwise, you'll cry.
Yeah.
Okay, newsflash. This is not box office rants and raves.
That's where you
Clint Eastwood
us.
Is directing the film version of Jersey Boys. Huh.
What?
Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
But that's his time, though. He grew up in that time.
So he's just such a Ricky Valley guy he's going to go time. All in and, yeah. and make the screen version of a Broadway musical?
He can do it, sure.
He's freaking Clint Eastwood. Such a weird thing.
We got to get to a game.
We got to get through the firings.
You talk about too much NFL.
Got to finish the firings. We got Leslie Frazier being fired in Minnesota.
Yeah. We talk Schiano. We talk Chud. We talk Jim Schwartz. Leslie Frazier, Minnesota.
Okay, I got this to say about Schwartz. The last thing to say about Schwartz.
Yes.
I knew Schwartz was gone when?
They lost to Minnesota.
When he yelled at the fans.
Oh.
Because that, my friends, we've been accusing.
He said he didn't yell at the fans.
Okay, that's a lie. So he's a liar, too. Good. Okay. We have film of him yelling at the fans.
All right, well, there you go.
He wasn't. He was actually telling one of them, hey, you're about to drop your baby. That's what he was yelling.
Maybe that was
probably.
What he was yelling.
Probably. We have a team that's characterized by undiscipline.
So Trisha and I were – you were there, actually, too.
Stay with me, please.
Yes.
Okay. Characterized by undiscipline, the Detroit Lions. And Steve and I have said forever, that's a problem from the top down.
Yes. Starts with the head coach. We have said that. But so you were there on Sunday because you came over.
I was
over
at your house all day.
So I said, who's going to get fired? And I kind of said – XYZ, and I said Jim Schwartz if he loses to the Minnesota Vikings.
And I said, no, he gets fired either way. Yeah. Because when he yelled at the fans, that told the Ford family that's been very patient with him that this guy is the problem.
He's the problem with
You've
our
team. You've got Ndamukong Suh stomping on people's heads. Huh, how does this young man become this out of control? Well, because there's a head coach that can't control himself.
Didn't they also
have somebody in their front office have a DUI?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got some organizational issues. Those things should never happen.
Well, the Lions are still searching for head coaches.
And by the way, I still think that is probably the best situation in football. Well, Steven, I want you to rank the best situations of all the firings, vacancies.
Well, we're not done. We got the Minnesota Vikings and Leslie Frazier.
Okay.
And then Shanahan.
Washington Redskins, parting of Mike Shanahan. And we all enjoyed seeing Robert Griffin at the Baylor game last night, didn't we?
Yeah, no, that was fun. They got crushed.
Destroyed by Central Florida. Fear the liar who got fired from Notre Dame after 7 days. Fear the liar.
They were 17-point
Central Florida was awesome.
And got destroyed.
Central Florida was so cool.
And Stanford was 7-point favorites and got beat.
Look, that Michigan State defense is ferocious.
They were pretty good.
You should be lining up. It was so funny. Listen to Pat Kerwin saying that he basically had to throw away a sheet. He's got all of his draft-eligible guys. Mm-hmm. He had 19 of them for that game, the Michigan State-Stanford game. He threw them up in the air at one point because he was trying to take notes on everybody while he was doing a live radio show. Threw them all up in the air.
Forget that. Okay, so here are the six openings. It was Houston and Tampa Bay. Those have been filled. Cleveland, Detroit, Washington,
DC.
And Minnesota.
Right.
Okay. Of those six jobs, mm-hmm. I think the best position to start is Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They got the most talent.
I agree with you.
They could win today.
I agree with you.
I mean, there's no reason they didn't win this year. Exactly.
Except for the fact what Jeff said preseason, regression towards the mean, these guys just don't know how to win.
They don't.
And that is
a
leadership issue.
From the coach.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that would be the best. Personnel wise,
yes.
That's
they're
the
most complete.
Actual position wise,
I don't know. Working for the Ford family ain't a bad thing either because they've been very patient with Jim.
That's true.
Think how patient they were with Matt Millen, Steve.
But
I think the Minnesota job, I get to go coach with Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
And I get a pretty nice draft pick.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Let me blow some holes
I get
holes
to
in
go
this.
bring a quarterback in that I want.
Let me blow some holes
yes.
in this.
Yes.
First of all, you're not going to get the first pick of the quarterbacks.
You may.
No, Houston's probably.
You trade up, man.
One.
You trade up.
And Houston may be willing to trade.
And the Rams at number two have said they're willing to trade down.
So there's going to be action in the trade market before the draft. But, Steven, herein lies the rub with the Minnesota Vikings, if you ask me.
What's the rub?
And, again, some of this I have to give credit where credit's due. Someone on SiriusXM, John Madden, Madden Football Today. Is it possible that Leslie Frazier was fired so that they could make room for another test drive head coach? Because the next two seasons are being played out of doors in ridiculously bad conditions.
Yeah.
And then they move into their fancy new stadium. So is this guy on a really short leash? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely.
If you go in and win, you're not going to be on any short leash.
And there's another thing that John Madden said today. He says, you can be, he was told this when he was first a head coach in the NFL, you can be whoever you want, do whatever you want, be whatever you want. As long as you win.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you can't do anything right. You can't be anyone you want. Everything you do is wrong if you lose. And truer words were never spoken, and John passed that wisdom along tonight. And I'm like, damn, that's smart. Winning fixes everything.
It does.
Fixes everything. You can be the drunken SOB of all time.
They could bring you in to be a test drive, but if you win with the team you put together right now for the next 2 years, they might move to L.A., but they're bringing you with them.
They're not moving to L.A. They got their new stadium
okay,
that they're breaking
the
ground
stadium.
On.
That's true. I forgot.
Yeah, so Minnesota's off the table. Yes. Thank goodness. I don't want the Vikings here because we took the Lakers. I don't want to steal too much from one city.
I will steal from Minnesota. You're going to send me – I could start cheering for Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Bring them.
Bring them. Why don't they play for 2 years here?
I hope the stadium cannot get built.
I'm still mad that we don't have a viable NFL stadium.
We've got nothing.
We should have kept up the Coliseum and the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And have them in a competition with each other.
I'm mad at people who live around here in this neighborhood. That's what
Steven,
I'm mad at.
The East Pasadena Homeowners Association is some of the meanest people in the world.
And they're stupid.
The Arroyo Seco Homeowners Association.
Yeah.
They're mean, selfish, and short-sighted.
Yeah.
Because they don't want 8 times a year there to be traffic. They're missing out on millions.
Their value to their property is already outrageously high.
Yeah.
You know what that would do to the value of their home?
But you know,
only make it even more outrageously high.
I don't care about that because I live here now, and that's where I work out. And if there's a lot of traffic on Sunday, I can't bike around the Rose Bowl. I like to bike around the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, well,
I like to jog around the Rose Bowl. I like to walk my kids around the Rose Bowl.
You can jog and walk around your own backyard.
No,
it's that
I can't.
Freaking big.
No, I live on a big hill that overlooks the Rose Bowl, which is why you can't touch it and put in luxury suites because I have to look at it.
Yeah.
And it's historic. And when you guys – the way it was built is the way it should look forever. You should still be sitting on metal bleachers.
Yeah, that's the stupid part right there.
The place needs updating. It needs modern bathrooms. It needs a lot of things. Modern concessions.
Can't have a professional football team there.
No, you can't. And the Coliseum, they could do it, but it's in a crappy part of town.
Then, as much as I hate to say it, I would want to probably go to Washington.
You would take on RG3.
I know
you like him. I'm just saying. Because the perception, which seldom has anything to do with reality, but sometimes it does.
I know the whole perception.
Is Robert's a high maintenance guy, dude. He's got a lot of baggage.
I doubt it.
He's a coach killer.
He's a coach killer. Every coach up before Shanahan loved him. So
true that.
I don't know how he's a coach killer. All right. There you go.
So I would put
I absolutely
Houston,
don't want to go to Tampa Bay.
I would put Houston in there.
No, don't want to go to Houston. Don't want to go to.
I get J.J. Watt. I'm a happy man. You want Adrian Peterson? I want J.J. Watt.
Don't want to go to Houston. Don't want to go to Tampa Bay. Don't want to go to Cleveland.
Houston, I got the first pick, and I will go quarterback. I don't think this quarterback class is amazing.
That's why I wouldn't touch it.
Well, then fine. I can trade my pick and get the best defensive lineman humanly possible.
Yeah.
And I could pick up a quarterback at the second or third round, and I think that any one of those would be fine. And I would make Matt Schaub my guy immediately. And I'd go on a rebranding campaign for Matt Schaub. And you only have him in for a year, Steven. A development year for this guy that you take in the third round. It's a great defense. All you still got Andre Johnson and Arian Foster. Ben Tate. You got some weapons there, dude. I like the Houston. And plus, I'm a huge.
The weapons are older and injury prone.
You tell me if I'm wrong. Is barbecue not one of the best things in the world?
It is.
Okay. But it's all about the food at the end of the day.
There you go.
And if I'm in Houston, I'm having the best food in the world, three meals a day.
I couldn't go to Cleveland. I don't like the talent.
And the food's no good.
And it's Cleveland.
Sausages are sausages.
And Tampa Bay, there's just a negative stigma with that team.
Which is too bad because from what I understand, and that's the only part of Florida I've never been to.
Yeah.
Is the Tampa St. Pete area. That's supposed to be the most livable part of Florida. That little Mecca on the Gulf of Mexico is supposed to be like as close to paradise as you get. Great city. So there's your coaching vacancies. There's your coaching hires. Some other things that are expected to happen in the next 48 hours or so is that we're supposed to have such names as who's been mentioned in the realm of
Well,
hires.
Chucky's come out and said he's happy where he's at.
Well, what he specifically says, I don't want any of these jobs.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of these coaching vacancies. Say that.
Which is really interesting. So,
how about
we're
this
seeing
piece
Seattle's
of news.
Defensive coordinator interviewing this week?
Yes, they have been requested. A couple teams have requested that. The will they, won't they question in the Windy City has been answered.
Oh, heavens, yes. It's been answered resoundingly.
Jay Cutler.
They will.
Staying with the Chicago Bears. He has a new contract worth a total of $126 million.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
$54 million.
Don't wait for it because Steven will just blurt it out.
Guaranteed. $54
million. I was going to make people wait for it.
I'm sorry.
Just blurt it out there.
54.
It's going to be wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
And that
and
is why.
Gura is
$54
million.
That is why the Chicago Bears just gave the NFC North to the Packers for as long as they want it.
As long as Aaron Rodgers stays alive.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
There you go, girls.
You just gave it.
$17.5 million a year average.
Are you kidding me?
Steven, I had my high-end value on Jake Cutler. Jay Cutler, Steven, I had already done, because I know salaries in the NFL really, really well.
Yeah.
And I had his salary pegged at $16.5 million a year.
Not
which
worth
was,
that.
I didn't say it was worth that. I said that's what the market bears, okay?
Okay.
It's about economics, and it's about supply and demand. Jay Cutler is a mid-tier quarterback that's reliable. Therefore, he gets that money, and that money is 16 and some change. And he got 17 and a half.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry. They overspent.
Tremendously.
If you had just franchised him, you would have owed him around 18 for this year, and then you're done with it. And then you find your quarterback.
How many? Hold on one second. I gotta pull it up because I need to know. Steven needs to know. Okay?
All right.
He played in 11 games this year. So he missed five due to injury.
He tends to – he's not – I wouldn't say that he's Italian, Steven.
Yeah.
But I would say that he's from southern France. Okay.
And those
– He's from southern France. He's right on the Italian border.
Okay.
Okay, so, but he's not Italian. He's in the French Alps.
Well, he hasn't had a complete season since 2009.
I said I'm not willing to write him off as Italian, but he's on the border.
Your brother's Italian, man. He has not had.
He's got a French accent.
If you have not played 16 games in the last 5 seasons, brother, you Italian, man. You are fragile.
He can be on a boat off the coast of Sicily. I'm good with that.
Okay, let's put him there.
Okay. So he's out of the Alps now, and he's in a boat off the coast of Sicily because you're pretty damn close to being Italian, son.
He threw in those 11 games he played, he threw 19 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions.
Reggie.
He only threw for 2,621 yards.
Oh, yeah, and you're not that reliable besides being fragile.
He lost three fumbles. And someone's trying to tell me that he's worth over $17 million a year?
17 and a half. 54 million gura.
Who's trying to tell me this, by the way?
This is a man who, in his drunkenness, Trestman? Hands me his wallet. He hands a complete stranger his wallet. What kind of quarterback is that, Steven, that would hand a complete stranger his wallet?
Well, you were in the party, so.
I was in the party, but come on. You know
who he is.
I don't hand complete strangers my wallet. I'll show them my ID.
Is Phil Emery trying to tell me he's worth $17.5 million a year?
Phil believes it. What Phil believes is finding somebody better than Jay. And here's, again, Jay, from my point of view, if I'm going to rank quarterbacks 1 through 32,
okay,
comes in about 13th. 14th?
All I know is in the stat category, there are 22 quarterbacks that threw for more yards than him this season.
Okay, he missed a lot of time this year.
Missed five games. That's not my fault. That puts you in a you're not worth $17 million a year category.
When somebody can be on the field. Let's just take it out of quarterback land and put it on a running back, okay? Let's put it on San Diego's running back, Ryan Matthews.
All right.
Somebody who doesn't play a lot, but when he's on the field, is he or is he not one of the most effective running backs in the game? He's a terrific scat back, correct?
He's been good.
He's been terrific. This year he had a really good season, and he played virtually
compared
the entire season.
Compared to what? He's had no
not
other
season. Compared
seasons.
To Jamal Charles or something.
Yes.
But he's had a terrific
season.
He's decent.
Season. Pick somebody else.
No, I'm saying he's Jay Cutler.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah.
But he's not worth. Okay, and I mean, this 17 point, what does that put him in? Where does that put him?
That puts him in seventh. In salary?
Yeah. As far as quarterbacks?
Yeah.
So there are six other quarterbacks that make more money than him.
Yes, just because they've had the most recent deals.
Right.
And again, Joe Flacco is one of those who's making way more than him.
Well, he deserves it. I mean, he did a lot better than Cutler did this year.
Joe Flacco didn't have a great season.
I don't know. I mean, I look at
his
numbers.
You take the sample of games played and put their numbers next to each other. Joe Flacco's numbers are going to look at
4,000 yards.
Eli Manning is making more money than him, Steven.
Yes, but that's Eli Manning had a bad year this year. He was interceptosaurus.
He's led the NFL in interceptions 3 years running.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
It has been 3 years.
Last year he didn't lead interceptions.
Yeah, he did.
That's bad.
Yeah. Okay, this is the company. If you're signing a deal right now, you're going to be amongst the fact that he didn't get the $20 million a year, Steven.
27 picks this year.
The fact that – check this. Stay with me, bro.
Mm-hmm,
the fact that Jay Cutler did not get near $20 million a year tells you what the league thinks of his value. Because 20 is what the good quarterbacks get.
Yeah, I would say 17.
Tom Brady,
is what the great
Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees – Tom Brady, $20 million a year. If they were signing today, $22 million a year. That's the market. So what do you pay somebody who's more than serviceable, and that's Jay Cutler, because he's a veteran who has ability, and he has Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth
$17. Someone came up with the best scenario I had heard of, which is trade Jay Cutler to Tampa Bay with Brandon Marshall.
And get draft picks.
And get a lot of picks.
A lot of them.
Because you can't – Jay Cutler without Brandon Marshall is kind of like having a car without an engine.
Right.
Okay? They kind of need each other. And, frankly, although, again, Brandon Marshall continuing to show me that he is maturing. It's kind of freaking me out. I want to trust him now, which is a huge step for me, that I want to trust him.
Yeah.
I don't, but I want to. And I may trust Brandon Marshall before I die.
I would have said Jay Cutler. I'll give you $12 million.
That's so well short of the 16.25.
There's the door. Go see if somebody wants to pay you more.
And they will.
All right. Then see you later. We'll find somebody else.
Well, and that's where you get into the transition tag that is not utilized enough in the NFL.
I mean, because homeboy didn't look all that bad playing for you. So you want to leave, it's $12 million, or you can go test the waters.
Yeah.
And good luck to you. If you get more than 12 minutes somewhere else.
Chicago owns the rights of him through the 2020 season. Where Jay will be, what, 105?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. I think they overspent as well, Steve. $54 million Gura. Jay, I know he's a happy guy, and he can hand me his wallet any time now because I'm looking for the million-dollar bills in the back of the wallet. And all I need is one.
Freaking real.
Super Bowl security perimeters taking shape, Steven. Bet you didn't know that.
No.
Thursday, the NFL will officially begin construction of a double chain link and jersey barricade fence nearly 4 miles long.
Wow. So once you're in this barricade, there's no getting out?
Ultimately, it will encircle MetLife Stadium and a 300-foot buffer in all directions, as well as the Izod Center and the power station that feeds them both. We know that well because we saw it blow up.
Yes, it
a great sports memory, watching this thing go boom in a bright light, and then all the lights go out. Steve and I love blackouts. We've been part of three power issues.
Enough, dude. We've seen three. We've been at three. Maybe we're.
I tell you, I need a scientist to come along and help me out this. I get static electricity discharges more than any human being.
What is the deal with that? I've been meaning to ask you.
Yeah, I don't. It's been my whole life.
Your sister, Trisha, does. Trisha's the same.
Is she charged?
Yes. All
what
the
if,
time.
What if our fingers, because I've, Steven, here's my ultimate static electricity moment.
Yes.
Was I was reaching for an elevator button. And my finger was, I'm going to say, 6 inches away.
Okay. Elevator button.
It arced.
Wow.
There was an arc of electricity.
That's crazy.
From an elevator button that appeared plastic to me.
Yeah.
To my finger, and I got shocked.
That's pretty crazy. Trisha just.
The wife says you shuffle. I'm like.
That's what it is. You're a shuffler.
I disagree. Trisha's I don't. You look at the wear on my shoes, and I don't shuffle.
Is Trisha a shuffler?
Well, she don't got any cartilage in her knees.
You guys
she is,
may be shufflers.
Look.
All I know is she walked in this evening.
To say hi and zap.
To say hi.
Zap.
Hey, how you doing? How was your day? She came in, put a peck in my face.
Steven, I can't get near the shower. It's like steek. Water conducts electricity great. Steek. Steek.
That's crazy.
I go by corners of in my house, yeah. And the corner has a steel thing inside. I've seen it built.
Yeah.
I get it on the arm.
Yeah,
it's just I'm an electric guy. I need a physicist to come help me out with that. Anyways, this perimeter should be ridiculous, which means that maybe the Izod Center will be where the media day will be. Maybe. Why else? Why? Because what else the Izod Center being used for?
I'm really bummed about that.
And I'm going to have to represent you. That means I have to be nice, and I have to be fun.
There you go.
Instead of finding an assistant coach to go hide out with.
Yeah, there will be no going and hiding with assistant coaches.
Steven, I like that. Or going and finding, Lombardi in some years, or just one of the lesser knowns, Charlie Casserly.
Yeah.
You know, and just I love hanging out with those guys and picking their brains and learning about the NFL. Tony Dungy last year because NBC had the game. Who's one of the Fox folks that would be fun? Nobody. Glazer likes us, but. Yeah. But
Kurt Menefee.
Kurt Menefee might be good. Kurt would be really good.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'll give you one.
I'm like looking for somebody to have fun with. Jeff, somebody to have fun with, please.
Someone to have
someone to like
fun
me.
With. Any other news that we could talk about?
Probably
before we
a
get
ton because
to-
there's been it seriously has been crazy. Chloe saying that the Vikings cut him because he supports gay marriage.
Well, yeah, you can't do that.
Okay,
it's not acceptable.
This day that marijuana sales are legal in Colorado.
Oh, let's do some of that. By the way,
but if you support gay marriage, you're gonna get
so he
cut.
Came out and said that because yeah. I think that was the belief early on, but I don't think that anybody had actually.
It was in a piece that appeared in I think the Drudge Report.
There you go, get it out there. That's what he believes. Get it out there.
And the Vikings have come out and said that's complete nonsense.
They cut him because he's just not very good at keep punting.
I am
pretty good.
Yeah, he was right. We've got a lot of guys that declared for the NFL, but we'll cover that in weeks to come.
Yeah, later.
There's a woman with very large bosoms on ESPN.com's NFL site.
I'm going to ESPN.
I used to care. RoadkillT-shirts.com. I do care. I care about her.
Oh, it's an advertisement for the T-shirts thingy.
Well, whatever.
Right? Is that what it is?
I don't know. It's hard to read the words on the T-shirts because they're expanded in disproportionate ways. Let's just leave it at that, shall we? And let's get to the games because I got some meeting I got to get to. So let's get to the games. We begin on Saturday. Saturday.
Early game, 4:35 p.m. Eastern time.
1:35 our time. And in the UK, the United Kingdom.
I'm going to be inside Club 33 at that
you
time.
You are. Club 33 at Disneyland, the most exclusive joint.
Yes, I was
outside
told
of Walt's apartment.
No shorts. No sandals.
Collared shirt, please.
Collared shirt. No Jack Sparrow Pirates of the Caribbean hat.
No, that's frowned upon.
I've never been. I didn't even know this club existed until
to
Matt
when?
Told me about it.
To win.
Until Matt told me about it.
When was that?
A few weeks ago when we got the invite.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You walked by that door 100 times.
Probably.
And you never thought, I wonder what's behind that
door.
Hell,
I used to work there. I never knew about
you
that.
You used to work at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Now, Club 33 has no direct access to backstage.
There you go.
So, but for those who have been to the Magic Kingdom, this is a private members-only club that is around New Orleans and what do they call that? It's not Times Square. What do they call the square there?
New Orleans Square.
No.
It's called New Orleans Square.
No.
It's called New Orleans Square.
I'm arguing with a man who used to work at the park.
Yes, that I do
but
know.
But he didn't know where Club 33 was.
I didn't even know there was. Because
I've probably never been in New Orleans before I knew what it was called. And now that I've been
square.
In New Orleans, I can't call it that because it'd be like the French Quarter.
Yeah. It's New Orleans
Square. Okay. Well, anyways, which is right next to Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yes.
And, in fact, the exit of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, if you just, as you're exiting, take a left, it's like two doors down.
Yes.
And there's a number 33 on the door. That's it.
There it is.
And it's a members-only private club with the best food you can imagine having at the Magic
Kingdom.
So
after I close that place down on Saturday, it will be closed for 6 months.
The renovation.
For a serious upgrade and renovation.
I'm going to say when I was last there, it was probably 10 years ago, and it was looking like it could use some love and care.
Well, they're going to give it some love and care.
Wow. I can't imagine, because it's still very nice place. You're talking linen tablecloths, the whole nine yards. It's spectacular.
We're going to be, dropping.
I've never dropped a dime there. I've always had someone buying me. Yes. That's just like those expensive steak dinners. I always recommend someone buy them for you. Great time. I'm happy to have your kids. But in the meantime, on Sky Sports 1, yes, the mothership, the Indianapolis Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs kick off at 9 p.m. in the UK. No reason to not see this game. None reason. It's not competing with anything. All of our FA Cup games will be long played, well over. Arsenal will have beaten Tottenham by then. Don't worry.
So what we've got, Jeffrey, is a Kansas City Chiefs team that they hosted Indianapolis in week 16. So they were at home, and they only managed to put up 7 points, lost 23-7. How are they going to go on the road into Indy, into the oil can, and score more than 7?
Because
I don't see it.
Because they're playing their best football
challenge
of
game.
The season. Oh, no, I'm taking Indy.
Oh, okay.
What, are you crazy? Look, the storyline of the season will be the storyline of this game.
Yeah.
Chiefs don't beat good teams, period. And
they don't.
Sorry, full stop. Chiefs are a damn good team. Okay? No, don't hear in the Chiefs don't beat good teams that they're bad.
Yeah.
Not saying that. Saying they're not a good enough team to beat the Indianapolis Colts at home.
Well,
the Indianapolis Colts happen to be playing really good football right now.
The only team with a winning record with a winning record that the Kansas City Chiefs beat was the Philadelphia Eagles in week 3.
And how is it that the Philadelphia Eagles came to a winning record? Very late in the season.
The Eagles didn't start too good.
No. They started poorly.
So there you have
it. Look, the Chiefs, Andrew Luck in his house is a mini version of Peyton Manning. He is calm, cool, collected, runs the offense with a plum. Not with a plum, with a plum. And they have finished the season so strong, dispatching the Houston Texans 25-3, the Kansas City Chiefs 23-7. Jacksonville Jaguars, 30-10. Do you hear that they haven't allowed more than 10 points in the last 3 weeks? Yeah.
They changed their philosophy both offensively and defensively over the last several weeks. It's a different Indianapolis team. I would take the Colts even if this game was in Kansas City. Mm. I got Indianapolis.
I probably wouldn't, but it'd be a way better game.
Yeah, I've got Indy.
I have Indy as well, Steven, and you do sit with the challenge game picking spot.
I do, but you know what? I like dollars.
You're $3 better than the challenge game. Okay, well, that's
good to
know.
I'm going to have lunch.
Tell you what, I'll give you another $3, and I'll just win this week.
No.
You give me another win.
No.
If you like it so much, those $3.
Sorry.
The line at this point has the Indianapolis Colts.
Pull it out of the wallet. Let's see what you got.
Actually, I have money today.
You do?
Yeah.
So we can make side bets this week?
I don't have dollars, but I got 20s. I left all the rest on the counter.
I guess I got all your dollars when we played poker.
Yeah, so.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. Are you all right? Because you've had some very unfortunate poker nights recently.
In a slump. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And you were sober. How did that feel? Were you not having as much fun because you actually knew you were losing?
Poker night and a lack of sobriety tend to go hand in hand for me.
Yes.
And I have obviously a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I made a conscious decision because it's the holiday time of season and my alcohol consumption and my bad food consumption has been too much, right, and I want to just dial it back. So you always have to pick your moment and say, if I got 15 opportunities to overeat and overdrink, I'm going to have to eliminate 5 of them at least,
right,
to stay in the realm of reasonable. That was one of the 5 I eliminated.
Okay. So how did Jordan feel? Because he thought he was going to have a big night at poker.
Well, Steven and I, this will never get to Jordan. So
no.
Steven and I saw to it that he did not win. And he did not win.
He did not.
And he bounced back fine. He's starting to really grow into being able to be a good loser.
Okay, good.
Which is good. So the line on this, Steven, is anywhere from 1 to 2.5 in favor of the Indianapolis Colts.
Colts favored by 2.5?
You can go as high as 2.5 at stations and as low as 1 at the MGM and the Mirage.
I'll take it at 1. If somebody wants to give me a 1-point line, I'll take it.
Yeah, that 1-point line, that's scary. Yeah. So, and it's really everywhere in between. There's no agreement on this. It opened at 2.5, minus 2.5 in E.
I don't see 1 anywhere. I just see 1.
The MGM Mirage? What do you got there?
Oh, I'm not looking at.
Okay, Las Vegas Hilton, I got 1.5. So, the win, 2. So, Steven and I both like Indianapolis to hold serve. And I like them. I have them covering. But it should be one hell of a game. I'll give you that.
It's going to be good. It's going to be
because,
good.
Because, look, and the people, I've heard some moronic things. Alex Smith can't throw the ball more than 10 yards. It's like, not true.
Yeah.
Not true. He's been playing some of his best football. And this Kansas City Chiefs team.
I think the offense they're in prevents him from throwing the ball deep. But
he can.
He can. He can.
And look, Dwayne Bowe. Let me just put one name out there. Dwayne Bowe. If he decides to show up.
I don't know. Like, all I'm saying is Indy's defense has stepped it up a notch. So.
They have. And Alex is going to be under duress, and he probably will not have time.
Can I ask you a question?
Please, ax away.
What in the world is with these new caps that have such a little short lid to them?
I stopped understanding caps when people left the tags on and the stickers.
Okay, people do that.
Always.
Oh, I've never seen that. But
that's the same thing as getting a PC and leaving the Windows stickers on it. And I've never understood these people.
Well,
are you proud of this?
You
it comes with them.
You need to leave it on.
What happened?
You've got serial numbers. So unless you want to write the
what
serial
a stupid
number.
System!
What? You want your
put
serial
it on
number.
A sticker?
Yeah.
I don't like the airbag warning stickers in my car. I try and remove those. I don't like excessive stickers.
I see.
Well, then you
stickers
would
stickers are temporary.
You would remove the sticker.
I
and
would.
Then,
and have to write it down somewhere else.
Write it down
on
somewhere.
A sticky note and stick it on the computer.
These Kay. Stickers are actually quite permanent. You if you try to take it,
oh,
rip
I have
it.
Tried, and you end up having to use an alcohol solution
yeah, exactly.
to try and get it off.
Blah.
And then it's still tacky
don't
for a little while.
That,
so as far as the Caps with the short bills, haven't really seen them because I don't. I've gone anti-establishment on hats. I wear my old school hats, and I don't care what anybody else does. My baseball cap is old.
I'm thinking about wearing that football helmet this year at the Super Bowl.
Ah, the leather throwback helmet.
Yes, yeah.
It would keep you warm.
It would. It's got the little side
leather.
Ear thingies.
Yeah, it's got ear flaps. And a chin strap, and you look like a special needs kid. So good luck with that.
And then I'll go to Radio Row and do the show like this. So I think the Super Bowl champion's gonna be the team with
the Chargers are playing. What?
You know what? I might throw a flutter. I might put 40-1 on those San Diego Chargers.
All right, I didn't know they were 40-1.
They're 40-1
at this point.
Baby doll. They are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. And over the last four seasons, a team that has lost to the Washington Redskins has gone on to win the Super Bowl. So
hey, those are statistical anomalies.
Yeah.
That's like your Yo 11 bet craps.
I'm just saying.
Indianapolis Colts think they're playing their best football at the perfect time, and the Chiefs are hoping to finally be healthy when it matters most. And Steven and I say, give us a final score of this, sir.
Oh, we're giving finals?
I don't know. We don't have time because I have to literally be walking out of here in
13 minutes so
to be
okay.
late.
So there you go.
If I hit every light, I'll be fine.
All right. So if you want to score, I'm saying 27-13 Indy.
I'm going to go 17. I get them more than two touchdowns.
All right, well, there you go.
17 points for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't buy the Chiefs. I don't buy them.
I'm not buying them.
Sell
I'm
the
saying
stock.
That they're a good team.
Sell it. Sell it all.
All right.
If this were a commodity, I would say sell it all.
And by the way, the stock market is doing really well. All those people that tell you that you sell before October don't want the end of the year. That's it. Yeah, the market went up 30% between then. Good luck with those little formulas. Just hold on to it all.
All right, the next Saturday game, 5:10 Eastern time.
Also on Sky Sports 1, the mothership. And by the way, all Saturday games are on NBC.
NBC.
Now, which one will Collinsworth and Al Michaels be doing? I guess
New Orleans,
the late
Philadelphia.
One. Yeah. I guess the late one. New Orleans, Philadelphia. The Saints are 11-5, 3-5 on the road. Eagles are 10-6, but alas, 4-4 at home.
Yeah.
Not impressive at home.
Not
impressive
good.
On the road.
Not very good.
So what does that mean?
New Orleans Saints win.
New Orleans Saints lose.
Drew Brees will not go out in the first round again this year.
I'd like to agree with you, Steven, yeah. But the fact is I've seen him play up close and personal, and the Saints' defense, what they are worst at is what the Eagles are best at, and that is running the bejesus out of the ball, limiting chances, and when Drew Brees gets behind in games, he makes mistakes.
It's Drew Brees versus Nick Foles, two guys that come from the same hometown, went to the same high school.
Is it Katy, Texas that they're from? Where are they from?
Somewhere in Texas.
That's a big place, though.
I'm going to go with the more experienced, the seasoned guy. Plus, I'm going to go with a guy who he's got his team around him. The Philadelphia Eagles did not show, over the last 3 weeks, did not show me anything that would indicate that anybody.
What the hell is that?
What is that? Somebody hit it with a thing. Get it? Is it?
It
a,
looks like a June bug that doesn't
no,
realize
it's
that it's January.
Bug. It's a. It's
a bee.
A, where did it go?
It went down by my monitor. It's on its back. It's just a clicky bug.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a.
Just a
bee.
Clicky bug.
I don't do bees.
I thought it was a bee too. Clicky bug is.
No longer.
Well, trying to be no longer. Ow. I'm trying to pinch him with my pinchers of death.
I see.
Continue.
Yeah, I will continue. The thing is, over the last several weeks, the Philadelphia Eagles didn't show me anything that would say you should fear this football team.
I can't reach you, bastard.
They only were able to put up 24 points on a Dallas Cowboy team that was decimated with injuries on the defensive side of the ball. And if the Cowboys, with that defense, can hold them to 24, I think the Saints and Rob Ryan will come after Nick Foles and hold them to a lot less. I got New Orleans in this game.
Okay.
And I will be more than happy to make that the challenge game.
Well, and I'd like money included because the kickoff temperature is going to be 27. Wind chill is going to feel like 18. And Drew Brees, that is just not his environment.
No.
And I know how much he's going to be telling himself that he has to man up and get over this thing, that he doesn't play
get
well
over
on the
cold.
Road. He doesn't play well outdoors. But look, Drew, you don't play well outdoors. You don't play well on the road. I've seen it firsthand, and I've seen you go into a panic mode where you start to press it, and you try and get the ball too hard to Jimmy Graham, and bad things happen. And
but
you
who
throw
knows
picks.
Anything about this Philadelphia Eagles
They're getting
playing
better.
Outside in the cold?
They're getting better. We don't.
We don't.
Nick, we don't know nothing, Steven.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with the known commodity.
I'm going to go with the team that's practicing all week in it.
Yeah, I'm going with the known commodity.
As they're going through, the weather will be colder this week than it will be for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Philadelphia is practicing in colder weather. And by the way.
They're holding their practices outdoors.
Right.
Their whole practice.
Yes.
I don't know. I not heard that.
How do you get ready for the cold? You stay out in the cold. That's the way you do it.
Good luck with that.
Philadelphia favors Universal across the board 2.5 points.
Yep.
Not a lot.
Give me the Saints, and I'll make sure
you take
that
the
they
two
win
and a half.
The game.
Yeah. Okay, got you covered there, Chief. That might be a de facto challenge game.
It might
but I
be.
Doubt it. As we head to Sunday and 10:05 a.m. here in California, and I'm sorry, over there in Britain, it's still on Sky Sport 1. Amazing. All the playoff games this weekend on Sky Sports 1. It's like the games matter.
They do.
The Sunday games, the
and
first
there's
ones.
No soccer being
the
played.
First
right
ones, that's Federation's Cup is Saturday. You're right. FA Cup Saturday. There probably isn't any games on Sunday. But still, this is over in time. CBS has the early game. Fox has the late game. So you'll have your main announcers there, CBS and Fox, where there's a 70% chance of snow in Cincinnati. Kickoff temperature of 27. Snow may be mixed with rain. And San Diego, you know, it's not quite Chargers weather. Not quite.
No, it's going to be brutally cold for the San Diego Chargers. Cincinnati is favored by a touchdown, Doogie.
Yep, Cincinnati is favored by a touchdown. And look, there is something they have to – that Marvin Lewis needs to get clear of, and that is getting a January win, something that has been largely missing from his tenure.
One and done.
Yeah. I mean, be it Carson Palmer quarterback or now the new kid, Andy Luck. And I think this is a stinky kind of bug. Because there's a smell now that's kind of bad now that I've crushed him to death. That's unfortunate. And my hands smell really bad.
Oh, great.
It's okay. I have a meeting shortly that I should offend people.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals.
Me too.
Although it would not surprise me.
Me neither.
If San Diego came out with a win.
If Phillip shows up on fire, which is what you're going to need to be when it's that cold.
Fire!
They could post a lot of points. I like the over-under here is 47. I would be thinking of the over even in the cold because both these teams are capable of hanging a lot of points on you.
Yeah, the other thing, though, too, if you go back just a few weeks when the San Diego Chargers
each other.
Hosted the Cincinnati Bengals, it was a low-scoring game, 17-10.
And that was shocking.
So for the Chargers were in the football game. They held that team down and had a couple of bounces gone their way. They win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Changing my mind. Upset. There it is. I got the Chargers.
Look,
upset.
I'm going to be rooting like heck for the Chargers just because.
Upset special. I just called myself in.
Here's the thing that I've noticed, Steven. I have a horse in each one of these races.
You do have horses?
I have a horse in each one of these races.
Okay.
The fewest horses for me is Kansas City Indy. We get in New Orleans, Philadelphia, San Diego, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Green Bay. I so have a horse at each one of these races. I have a team that, look, I love this team. The other team, whatever.
So what?
And Kansas City, Indy is as close as I get to neutral. From here on out, picking these games becomes very difficult because I have emotional.
I see.
I
Don't
want Drew Brees to win.
Don't let the tie. He's going to win. He's going to.
And I'm taking Philadelphia.
You are.
just simply because of where it is. And in Sandy, Cincinnati, I'm going to do the same thing. I know there is always a road team, and I'm saving it for the final one, where I believe that San Francisco will go in and do what they've done to Green Bay the last several times. Don't matter where it's played. Don't matter what the temperature is.
Don't matter that it's like negative 30.
People are saying the wind chill will be minus 31.
Okay, minus 31.
The kickoff temperature that's what it's expected to be minus 9.
Your body parts freeze at that point.
Your penis actually detaches from your body.
And it says, I'm staying in the locker room. You're like, come on, dude, we got to go out. I'm like, I'm staying in the locker room. I don't care, you got a football game. It's warm in the locker room.
Fortunately, Mr. Johnson is not required to play good football.
But you know what? You know, that's where you get your manliness from. The testosterone, you got to be, you got to be a man. You got to go hit some people.
What did Austin Powers call it? I don't remember. It's mojo.
It's mojo, yes.
It's where your mojo resides.
This is where all the mojo is. And this is going to stay in the locker. It's
going
to be like, hey,
I ain't
man.
Going out there.
I'm
cold
sorry.
Out there.
Eddie Murphy, sorry, man. Johnson stays here. Johnson stays in the locker.
Oh,
I ain't going out.
It's going to be freaking cold. And I
let's chomp in
San Diego,
Cincinnati. I'm taking the upset.
Cincinnati.
I'm taking far too many upsets. I'm going with Cincinnati.
San Diego's not good enough.
I'm going Cincinnati.
They're not good. When they barely beat the Kansas City secondary, and by that I mean the second stringers.
Yeah. They were. It was a crazy game.
In San Diego, and they barely beat Kansas City.
They did barely sneak it out.
Grubs.
But Cincinnati might. You know, they wilt under the pressure.
They do.
The win.
We're
in the playoffs. We won the division. We got the number 3
seed. I believe Andy Dalton is growing up, and Red Ryder is going to come out and double pump that BB gun of his.
All right, there you go. I got Cincinnati. I can't take that many underdogs. I can't. I'm looking at the underdogs. I already got New Orleans. They're a dog. And I'm going to take Green Bay. They're a dog.
You're going to take Green Bay. We might as well transition to San Francisco, Green Bay.
Fear the home dog in the playoffs.
That's been embarrassed a couple of years in a row.
Yes.
At home.
At home.
Going back several years. The Giants have done it to them twice.
And it's not going to happen this time.
Atlanta knocked them off last year.
You know what I think? I think the Green Bay Packers is going to be that team like the New York Giants a couple years ago, 9-7.
Juggernaut.
They sneaked into the playoffs. Literally,
they
come on.
They really did.
Sneaked in because the Lions and the Bears decided to have.
It was the Bears that had the best direct chance to knock them out.
You know, and now they got in, and now Aaron Rodgers is feeling pretty good about himself.
He's had some time.
Eddie Lacy's running
the ball. Jordy
Nelson
said it best this week, which is that he giggled. Aaron's back.
Aaron's back. Well, which made him relevant.
He's been relevant, doing his best.
But still, now he's
with Randall Cobb throwing you the ball. Or Randall Cobb's back as well, Steven.
I think that the home fans are going to rise up. You're not going to see a lot of red.
We got to get to this last news item. So I'm taking my San Francisco 49ers.
I got Green Bay.
Because they were in the Super Bowl last year, Steven. And this is the same team, and they're getting healthy.
They're in the Super Bowl last year, and I firmly believe that they shouldn't have made the playoffs.
Well, there you go. But they did, and they went to the Super Bowl, and they've got all that experience now. Yeah. So this news item I'm going to leave you guys with. Tickets are still for sale for all these games.
Yes.
There is a significant risk that the game will be blacked out in the Green Bay Wisconsin area.
Not going to happen. There's
5,500 tickets still available.
There's an owner of a company there in Green Bay that said he would buy all the tickets.
I am asking not for the people of Green Bay to go buy tickets. I'm asking for the NFL to pull its head out and to always televise all playoff games.
Yeah, well.
Stop being selfish, greedy bastards. Stop it.
Well, there you go.
Stop it. It's for the fans, right? Then you don't extort more money out of your season ticket holders that have already dipped in way further than they can for their season tickets.
Right.
They keep going up every year. That's why they don't have the money. And by the way, they want to be home because they want to see the next game or they want to see the prior game.
Right.
And because they're fans of the league.
Because they don't want to sit out
in negative
31
degree air temperature. And that should be their prerogative. Yeah. Don't punish these people that are your bread and butter. I'm out, Steven.
There you go. Jeff's out. That's
you wrapped the show. I'm hanging him up even.
He's hanging
tell
it
me
up.
What the challenge game is.
The challenge game will be New Orleans at Philly. Saints don't lose to the Eagles.
And what? That will be it. That's right. Saints don't lose to the Eagles, mija. I'm Stephen Miranda. He's Jeff Ellis. He's already walking out the door. Thanks for listening. This has been NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.